come. It is text. We will load.
23. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vilokyanugata. By observing, after observing this brave act performed by the chaste wife Archie, the wife of the great King Prithu, many thousands of the wives of the demigods, along with their husbands, offered prayers to the queen, and they were very much satisfied. The next text, Kuruvatya kusuma saram tasmin mandarasu sanunui nadat varamara turyeshu grinantisma parasparam. At that time, the demigods were situated on the top of Mandara Hill, and all the wives began to shower flowers on the funeral pyre, and began to talk amongst themselves as follows.
Devya ucho ahangiyang vadhurudanya jachayvam bhujang patim savatmana patim bete yagyesang shriya.
The wife of the demigod said, "All glories to Queen Archie. You can see that this queen of the great King Prithu, the emperor of all the kings of the world, has served her husband with mind, speech, and body, exactly as the goddess of fortune serves the supreme personality of Godhead, Yagyesha or Vishnu." In this verse, the words Yagyesham Shrir Vadhur Iva indicate that Queen Archie served her husband just as the goddess of fortune serves the supreme personality of Godhead Vishnu. We can observe that even in the history of this world, when Lord Krishna, the supreme Vishnu, was ruling over Dwaraka, Queen Rukmini, who was the chief of all of Krishna's queens, used to serve Lord Krishna personally, in spite of having many hundreds of maidservants to assist her. Similarly, the goddess of fortune in the Vaikuntha planets also serves Narayana personally, although there are many thousands of devotees prepared to serve the Lord. And this practice is also followed by the wives of the demigods. And in days past the wives of men, and in days past the wives of men. And in days past, the wives of men also followed this same principle. In Vedic civilization, the husband and wife were not separated by such man-made laws as divorce. We should understand the necessity for maintaining family life in human society, and should thus abolish this artificial law known as divorce. The husband and wife should live in Krishna consciousness and follow in the footsteps of Lakshmi Narayan or Krishna Rukmini. In this way, peace and harmony can be possible within this world. Namaam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Varishtaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pancharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vaskatyati Satagni Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Priya Advaita Gadadha Shiva Shaji Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vilokyanugatam sadvim prittum viravaram patim Vishtubur varada devayara deva patnya sahasrasha.
After observing this brave act performed by the chaste wife Archi, the wife of the great King Prithu, many thousands of the wives of the demigods, along with the husbands, offered prayers to the queen, for they were very much satisfied. Yesterday, His Holiness Shiva Ram Maharaj has explained to us some of the implications regarding Sati, the chaste wife, prays, "Oh, my Lord, the fire of separation from you is hotter than the fire of the funeral pyre. Therefore, let me go into the coolness of the funeral pyre." We have heard about this. We have heard about the Babaji in Vrindavan, who in the midst of a lecture or after a lecture, he just demonstrated how easy it is. And we have remembered our cultural shock, which we had when we first heard about this. Today I would like to lift this subject matter from the social platform into a transcendental dimension by making an amazing point. The Bhagavatam explains in the 11th canto that there is an intelligence of the intelligent, an expert amongst the experts, a most clever person amongst those who are clever. And that is he who engages the temporary to reach the eternal. We have a temporary body and some abilities, some strong points and weaknesses. They are all passing. But we can use this to reach the eternal. And the story which illustrates this, it's used in the Sandarbha, is about two birds who made this amazing realization. And as you hear it, please think very deeply. Once there was a bird, and it so happened that in the evening, when it was cold and rainy, a hunter took shelter under that same tree. It must have been London weather, you know, cold and drizzy and miserable. So he was there freezing under that tree. Then the bird who resided on the tree saw, "Oh, here is an atithi, an uninvited guest. I have to take care of him." So that bird flew to the next village, picked up some burning wood, and flew back and just threw it down, threw some straw on top, and made a fire, so that the guest could warm himself. Then after some time, the bird thought, "Oh, my guest is most probably hungry, and my intuition tells me that he is a meat eater. So let me serve him. Let me use the temporary by using the eternal." And he flew into the fire. This was seen by the wife of this virtuous expert. And the wife said, well, my husband is very clever. He's quite expert. He knows that by serving all living entities who are part and parcel of Krishna, great service is done. What are my chances in this pigeon body? I could just eat a little maid, go to the toilet. That's all. So let me use this insignificant, meaningless life to reach some eternal good. Let me follow my husband and the other bird just also flew in the fire so that the hunter had a good meal. Now the hunter, when he saw this, he saw, my God, what have I done? I'm not using this human form of life properly. Just see the birds. To get eternal good, they're sacrificing everything, even their own bodies. This is a very good example. And the hunter became a devotee of Krishna. This is how the story goes. Now, it's very important for us. Maybe we have a few journalists amongst us, and they said, the lecturer told the devotees they got to commit suicide. We have heard it. Now we have the scandal story. Let us bring it into the Guardian and the Daily News in London. We have something interesting now. Let us just make a shady picture, you know, where he looks like a murderer, the lecturer. But my dear journalist, you have misunderstood the story. This is not the essence. The essence is that we have a short life, and we should use it to reach eternal good. There are many stories in our tradition which talk about this point. For instance, how Ranti Deva sacrificed everything in order to please the other living entities whom he saw as Krishna's part and parcels. There are many, many examples which make this point. And please, therefore, let us think today a little bit about it. We in the Bhagavatam this morning, we do hear about a devotee, Queen Archie, who reaches the eternal spiritual world by following principles, religious principles. There's a point to reach the eternal by using the temporary is a point which requires deep philosophical understanding. Actually, by the laws of logic, it is not possible to reach something eternal by using the temporary. Let me give you an example. When you have Yamuna scent, there is no oil inside. In other words, no matter how much you manipulate the Yamuna scent, no matter what you do with it, what chemical process and so on, you won't get oil from it. It's just not possible. Because the effect has to be there in the cause. So the temporary material existence, how can, by doing anything with it, something eternal come out? Eternal is not within the temporary. That means the effect is not there in the cause. So by the laws of logic, it is totally impossible. Let me repeat this, please. By the laws of logic, it is totally impossible that we, as conditioned souls, Jai Sri Radha London Ishwara Ki Jai, Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Ki Jai, So by the laws of logic, it is totally impossible that by using the temporary, we can reach the eternal. But by Krishna's mercy, who has given this immense transcendental potency into our acts of devotion, this can be made possible. If a devotee uses his material body and his mind and his words in the service of Krishna, he can reach the eternal transcendental dimension, the eternal spiritual world. Bhakti has such potency inherent in it that it's possible. Jiva Goswami gives an interesting example which I want to give for the pleasure of the deities. It's about a rat. This rat came into a temple. The temple most probably had not the most hygienic standards. It came on the altar, where it saw a givik which was just extinguishing. Yeah, it was just stop before it went out. So the rat, thinking that this was cheese, went onto the altar to eat that givik. In the process, one of the viscous caught fire and put the fire back on that spritz givik, you know, which was just extinguishing. And the rat, being so shocked how the piece of cheese was actually fire, began to try to wave the fire out by making circles into the direction of the deity. Oh, Pujari is a transcendental personality. And out of fear, you know, he was so shocked and so much fearing for the life, the rat gave up the body. It must have had a heart stroke or something, and died on the altar. Now, at that moment, bystanders who were spiritually advanced saw how the forearm form emerged from the dead body of the rat and went back home, back to Godhead. So you can see from this how there is an inherent potency in the acts of devotional service. It's not that the rat knew, I am performing now an arati. The rat had a total different concept about what she was doing. But just the waving of the fire before the deity, that in itself was accepted by the deity as service. You know, when we do an arati, the light which we wave before the deity is supposed to burn away all the inauspiciousness which might befall the deity. Of course, we know the Lord is transcendental, and how can any inauspiciousness create a problem? Or how can shadow overcast the light? That's not possible. But the devotee, nevertheless, wanting to serve the Lord, wanting to do something out of love for the Lord, is offering the arati. So nice to see the arati is going on. We are moving from the reality of our story to the reality of practical devotional life, which is so transcendental. Now, Radha Londoneshwara offered a fragrant flower. And they are accepting this, bestowing their mercy on the pujari. So, in the same way, the rat was bestowed the unlimited mercy of the Lord by acts of devotional service. So this is really the things of our secrets. It's the most clever point of our clever points. We can actually use meaningless material existence, this temporary existence. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I was hoping that this would happen. We can use this short existence by pleasing Krishna, in this way also going back home, back to Godhead. My dear devotees, let us think for a while. What are our chances? We are here residing in a body which was produced by our parents, not according to religious principles that came together under the flames of lusty desires. We have a limited mind, which often is attracted to material things because of our past unfortunate backgrounds. Our bodies are full of diseases which are just lurking there, waiting when we cross the border of 40 years. Each one of us has a mountain of bad karma in the heart. What are our chances? We are ordinary people. We are people just like everyone else. But we have obtained the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the pure and Radha Londoneshwara. This is something just wonderful. But in itself, or I do not know the proper English saying, even in itself or out of itself, our body or our existence is not very glorious. Do you feel offended, or can we say this? I think we can say like this. But with this one thing, this knowledge of performing devotional service, the unimportant or the inglorious human existence becomes something glorious. This is my first point. Using the temporary material body to reach something wonderful, something eternal. My second point is a question. How we are going to do this? It requires a certain understanding. Let me just look at my note here. Yes, the understanding is that material activities will never be able to give me that real thing which I'm looking for in my life. See, everything which you do materially, it is done within the three dimensions of time, space, and activity, if you take this, get these categories. And everything which is done just produces a temporary result. However, devotional service in Krishna consciousness, and more specific also, our bhajan, our worship of Krishna, creates an immortal result. In other words, whatever you can do in this lifetime, which is connected in with hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, serving Krishna, so on these ninefold processes of devotional service, that result is not temporary, but it will always accompany you. You will always have it. Especially the human form of life is made like this, that we can obtain the transcendental eternal benefit. Wouldn't it be therefore wise and opportune to use every minute properly in Krishna's service? The baby is convinced. Are we convinced of this? Let me give you an example. which will be very easy to understand. Let us say, we tell Paramakaruna. Paramakaruna? Gonitai. Dayanitai. Sorry, I'm always thinking of Paramakaruna. Let us say we say Dayanitai. My dear Dayanitai, there's a shopping center, and whatever you can lay your hand on, we can give you a post-it, you know, this post-it sticks, these yellow things. But whatever you stick on it, within 1 hour, that will be yours. Imagine our Dayanitai. He is a grihastha now. He needs some artha. And he is now running through the department store. Clang, 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 car. And no juice mix machine, clang, and so on and so forth. And then he would get things for the Soho Street kitchen and for the manor, and he would equip all our temples most forever. And then he would meet someone, maybe even his father, who would say, Dayanitai, good that I see you. Getting all the prasadam today, even the jewel. my dear Dayanitai, let's talk about the London weather today, how it is. And he will say, I'm sorry, I have no time. I have the chance to put my post-it everywhere and get this. You will not waste even 1 minute to talk about the London weather, which everyone does in this hellish town, you know. You will just not waste your time. Do you understand this very simple example? So in the same way, we have a chance. We can do many, many things which will give us unimaginable good fortune. We can serve the Lord here in the temple where he is on the altar in a very merciful form. I mean, there is no end to telling Radha London Ishvara's glories. I will in the end tell one glory. And we are wasting time. What kind of people are we? We are not understanding this point, this verse, to be the most clever, most intelligent, and most expert means to use all our energy, all our thoughts in Krishna service. If even a rat could obtain such a high benefit by just doing an unconscious arati, we can say, how much we can obtain by using our words, body, and mind in Krishna service. It is inconceivable. So, therefore, let us use our time for bhajan. A devotee who understands this, he cannot tolerate if he is inattentive while chanting the holy name. He cannot tolerate that his mind goes away when he has darshan of the deities. A devotee who understands this becomes extremely wise with his time. He will use the time to read whenever there is time, to assist Vaishnavas whenever there is time, to do so many wonderful things whenever there is time. This is a point I wanted to raise. Then at the end, I would like to glorify these deities. Because, after all, I have obtained my spiritual life from the deities. Remember, Srila Prabhupada was announced to appear to give to be there for the London Ratha Yatra, but somehow he did not come. And the German devotees who had come to see him left and went back to Hamburg. And I was also there. the devotees asked me to also go with them, but I said, I want to see Prabhupada. I wait here until Prabhupada is coming. And they said, this is very dangerous. You are still going to school. Your holidays are ending. You can't wait. And then the temple will get your parents will phone the temple and say, where's our son? I just said, sorry, I've made up my mind. I want to see Prabhupada. I came all this way. Anyways, Prabhupada came, and I shaved up to offer my hair to Prabhupada. I was in this mood. It meant my prestigious position in the material world, my false identity. So, Prabhupada, I don't want to talk about me, but about the deities and Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada would go every day. When the devotees took prasadam in the basement, he would come before their lordships Radha, C.C. Radha, London Ishvara, and he would actually pray to them. He would actually speak to them also. Devotees sometimes could hear how Prabhupada was addressing the deities with words. It was a very intimate moment, and we all knew we shouldn't be in the temple during that time when Prabhupada was there. So, at that time, I did have a crisis of faith. I felt it was too early to join 100% the temple, and my parents were sending telexes, and my grandfather was dying, and it was So I decided I have to leave this temple. I have to leave Krishna consciousness. I had a little crisis. And then one morning, the temple president, he charged into the kitchen. I was in charge of washing the dishes of their lordship, C.C. Radha, London Ishvara. And I was extremely absent-minded at that time. And then the temple president came in the kitchen with a face all agitated, and he said, "Who washes the dishes of Radha London Ishvara?" And I was just on the mental platform washing, thinking of, what to do now. Said, "Me, is washing the dishes." "Oh, you have to wash them better." Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said the deities told him that there's all this. Some remnants are still on the dishes. They are not clean. And the deities have complained to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada had called me to make an arrangement that this is stopped. Now, when I heard this, I just was very much moved, and I was very much, can't describe to you. I was chastised. I mean, he was heavy. But I was so happy inside. I said, "Oh, I'm in the movement of God. Finally, I made it. He is the Lord communicating with this pure devotee. How wonderful it is. How wonderful. How wonderful." And I became very convinced to never leave the movement for Krishna consciousness. So this was the mercy of Radha London Ishvara. They were making their wish known. So we are, as residents of this temple, we should know we are with the most merciful Lord here. We can serve him. We can go to him every morning. We can pray to him. He listens to us. He has time for us. Shouldn't we use this little fly-like existence? I mean, the fly has short number of hours to live. We have short numbers of years to live. Totally in the service of the Lord, in this way, reach the eternal spiritual sky. Huh? This is the point I wanted to make today. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions, please ask them. Namo Dhapabhu.
you were reciting a story about the pigeon.
Yes.
How the pigeon gave up their bodies to the fire.
Yes.
You mentioned observing what a Christmas party is part of.
Yeah.
You can achieve perfection.
Yeah.
So there are advocates of this philosophy, man of the favor, mother of day, by service to man, one is serving God.
Yeah.
Necessary, they're equal to each other. So obviously there's a fine line between the point that you made and that point which you're about to announce. Could you just explain to us how we can get to strike the right balance between
yes.
the Christian part and part of the that spirit? So this is the
Well, the tape hearing prosperity, what is it? I don't know. The devotees who listen to the tapes, I want to repeat the question. There is an offensive philosophy which says, by serving men, you serve Madhava, you serve Krishna. And they interpret it by just doing humanitarian works and not really being God-conscious. Now, you have explained the pigeon story, and there is also such a point, but there's a fine balance here. What is that balance? And the balance comes up if we understand that here are paths and passes of Krishna who are lost in this world and act accordingly. See, this is brought out very nicely in the story of Maharaj Shranti Deva, who gives his puja after a fast of, I believe, 40 days or a long fast. He gives his food to the other hungry people who come and want something to eat, and he just gives everything away. And his understanding becomes clear in the prayer which he says. He wants to please Krishna. That is his work. He sees everyone as part and parcel of Krishna, and the Lord is very merciful towards his part. And he wants to serve them as part and parcel of Krishna. It's really Krishna's service. In the scriptures, they said in the Bhagavatam, it's the highest religious principle to actually serve others. The way we want to do it in our movement for Krishna consciousness is we are trying to enlighten them in Krishna consciousness. The London Temple, for instance, we have various programs, book distribution, distribution of the holy name, prasadam distribution. We have many very nice programs where we want to serve Krishna with by taking care that his lost path and passes go back. Because Krishna wants very much that the conditioned souls become Krishna conscious. He desires that. He has a desire. And we are serving the desire of the Lord by preaching. Yes. What is your name?
Jaitra.
Jaitra. Yes.
Maharaj, in performing devotional service, we have to struggle with so many anarchists in our hearts.
Yes.
And it just seems that these anarchists are never ending. So, even though we may say, yes, I like devotional service, I like everything about devotion, but still we know in our minds that this particular anatta could take me away from devotion.
Mm-hmm.
So how does one
deal with this? Yeah. Isn't it, sometimes it seems our heart is like a piece of coal. You wash it and still dirt comes, even after hundreds of years. Yes. My heart is like a piece of coal. I want to write a poem about this, this many writing projects, this one. Yes. If you're really interested in the answer, I want to make a little advertisement here. Yesterday I gave a class in the manor, and it was all about that. There are many points raised, but here to give a short and abbreviated answer is you can only really get these anattas out, not by your own force, but Krishna has to come. You have to attract Krishna in the heart. Krishna is like the sun, and Maya is like the tons of darkness. I mean, what can your little match do in the night? Nothing. So your little man-made endeavor cannot get rid of these anattas, which are the result of many life, billions, maybe millions of lifetimes of sin. The taste of sin is in your mouth since many lifetimes, and in the heart. So Krishna has to take it away. And we attract Krishna by hearing about him regularly and chanting him. Srinvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hrityantastho yabadhani. It says the Lord in the heart who is becoming pleased by hearing about him, huh, becomes the well-wisher and removes all abadrani, these inauspicious things. But just hearing alone sometimes is not sufficient, or most of the times is not sufficient to bring you on a steady platform of devotional service where you are above anattas, where you have crossed, so to say, the anatta niviti stage. So therefore you should also serve the pure devotee. You should serve the deity. You should go to Tulasi Puja and do all these things which are connected with Krishna. This is a long subject, it's a very interesting subject matter. Prabhupada says, you should not only, you know, be connected to Krishna by hearing about Krishna, but tadiyanam, you must also do everything which is in relation to Krishna. Then this Lord will appear in the heart and watch. Sorry, not watch, but then all the inauspicious things will go. Only Krishna can take it away. Your little match is not sufficient.
You mentioned you gave an analogy about time. You know,
yeah.
The implication was that if somebody recognizes the value of doing devotional service as opposed to the value of some material activity,
yes,
that one would naturally choose to always be engaged in devotional service,
sure,
and never be engaged in material activity. I was thinking of a different example, somewhat relevant in my case, but also I've seen others, that when one joins Krishna consciousness, when one initially comes, one generally comes with a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of conviction that it will be possible.
Mm-hmm.
After some time, one begins to wonder whether certain behaviors or certain activities one will actually ever be able to surpass. And at that time, you could say sometimes people's conviction begins to waver, whether I will even make it back home.
Yes.
And sometimes that that very, you could say that very consciousness that maybe I'm not actually going to make it means that people will begin to do it just because of
that. Yeah. I thought very deeply about this, as you can imagine, because I also went through my midlife crisis in devotional service. So, initially, we see, I want to repeat this question also. I also needed to repeat the other question, but I forgot. Initially, we have an enthusiasm. That's when we begin, but after some time, it often happens that we doubt, is it possible? Because certain behaviors stick with us, like the bad smell sticks with the body. even after a long time of washing. So we then doubt whether it will be possible for us to achieve our desired end. This is a good observation. Those of you who are older in Krishna consciousness, does this ring familiar? How in the beginning you just you could do service without sleep practically, so enthusiastic you are. So the point here is described that this enthusiasm can be compared to the enthusiasm of a Brahmana boy, young boy, who gets a book. He can't really read it, but he's nevertheless very enthusiastic because he also has a book like the grown-up people have. Wonderful. But this enthusiasm is short-lived. I think we all have, I'm a personal book collector, because I think my concept is literature, and I'm just, now they are getting some many books together, and I'm just, you know, I cannot sleep in the expectation of these wonderful books. It's a dream of them already. But then, when it comes to reading, I know I won't be able to read the, you know, using one computer, but it's maybe 50 books for us. Maybe more. Many things. So, if I want to be enthusiastic about my book, I have to read them, not just think and study them. So, in the same way, if you want to remain enthusiastic in devotional service, you need to have new access roles. It sounds like I should have done when I say it. So your property, you need to find new projects, new angles. You can't just remain always on the surface. Or it's a new life, it's a new path. You know, you have to go deep and find and be inspired by something else. What I would suggest is make projects in your life. Also new age, but I just mean it in a very basic way. Make progress is service, new areas of service, new plans for Krishna. Make maybe also projects in your spiritual projects which concern only your life. I'm chanting now so long, but let me check my chanting. Maybe you make the unnerving experience to have a tape recorder running next to you and then listening to the tape and finding out this chanting needs improvement. So then this is a project to fix on. In other words, it is natural that in the beginning, that after some time or some years, that initial enthusiasm, which was based on fascinating with the new, will wane because it's no longer new. You have come for the, I don't know, for the 1,000 and 800 times for the deity. That's not a new experience. So you have to think, have to do it, you know, you have to go deeper in this. For instance, you can pray before you come to the deity. It's a very nice prayer which I want to recommend to you. My dear Lord, please give me the strength to serve you. This prayer is so wonderful. It has been given by Srila Prabhupada. He said, any other prayer won't make you happy. So he also spoke of other prayers, not that he says not that he pray already prayers, not that he shouldn't do them. He just wanted to say how important this prayer is. My dear Lord, please give me the strength. In other words, the darshan should enter deeper into the meaning of darshan. I just came from Damodar Prabhu. I just was in Vrindavan, not just, but 2 months, and I just chanted from morning to evening. It was such a wonderful project there, and still alive from this, and have still benefits from this.
So, when you don't move in your devotional service, and you just keep things the way they are, you can go through that experience with samadha, as described to us, that you will lose the faithfulness. In other words, you have to base your faith on deeper things than it was in the beginning. And sometimes devotees are not sufficiently aware of this very simple and logical point, and miss out on it, and then complain in their life that, well, it's my enthusiasm. So the others have increased over the years. And it comes by putting it always on deep spiritual foundations. And then to see that your enthusiasm increases, you must be doing something wrong. It's not rather mistaken and constantly corrected. Then I think we are now a little over time. It seems to the body also asked. We have no questions any longer for this subject. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ji, if you don't die, go with them and then we are going to go.